Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Patrick Zelton, Vice President, Managed Services, Forsyth Technology. Now, Patrick, you have this amazing background. You've been in the field for a long, long time, just incredible success. So thank you for sharing your deep experiences with our audience.
You're welcome, Stephen. Thanks for having me today. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Now, I encourage the audience, our listeners, to actually look at your background because you've done so much. So in this next question, I'm going to ask about your history of successes. Like, can you share some usable lessons or best practices from all the things that you've done?
Sure. In my time with Forsyth, I've had the benefit of working in our professional services and managed services areas, helping clients on both sides of the equation. In other words, some clients were looking to improve their internal IT capabilities. Some clients were looking to source externally. Here are some of the things I'd pass along. One, spend time defining the problem and the plan. Don't hop right into execution. IT people are inherently fixers, so jumping in and getting things done is a natural course of action. However, most of the time, it's beneficial to try to see the proverbial forest through the trees first. Try to ask, what are we trying to solve? What are the immediate and long-term actions that need to be taken? And what implications do those have down the road? Do they limit my choices? You know, I saw a client bring in new technology to address a business issue, only to realize they lacked a plan on how they were going to train staff or source to support it. So two, I would say chunk initiatives into discrete, measurable timeframes. Often milestones for initiative are too spread out, limiting the ability to measure progress. Instead, I'd recommend setting up 6 to 8 week sprints that allow for more real-time statusing and, more importantly, course correction. Think of the end in mind as good, but thinking of the end in mind, a series of end in minds, is even better. Three, I'd say view partnerships as a critical component in managing and operating an IT environment. As you know, today, IT is too large and too complex to expect to have the skills and know-how to do everything. More importantly, it's just not cost-justified to do so. Partnerships with either managed services providers, consulting firms, systems integrators allow specialty skills to be brought to bear at the right time and hopefully at the right price without having to staff those resources internally. Such partnerships allow a company to bring in expertise and scale that can improve business uptime and even speed to market. Think about a managed service provider supporting a client's network operations. They can apply learnings from IT environments to a specific client's environment. I'll give you an example. A router with maybe an unusual hiccup might be tough for a company to solve by themselves. However, a managed service provider may have seen that issue 10 or 20 times previously and can restore that service quickly, which keeps the business flowing.
You know, those are some great tips, and I actually write for IT World Canada, so I may extract some of those, and of course I'll credit it to you. I think those are great tips to pass on to a big audience. So now, on the next question, I want to ask about the state of the enterprise spend and why this should change, or should this change?
Yeah, Stephen, this is really interesting right now, and it might take some time to figure out what is really going on here. You know, based on some recent data from Gartner and others, looks like IT organizations might be waking up and starting to spend more money, or maybe not. Let me explain. Typically, IT organizations spend about 70 to 80% of their budgets just to keep the lights on, meaning performing their day-to-day responsibilities of operating IT. That only leaves about 20 to 30% for innovation and helping the business with capabilities that might increase revenue or drive out cost. An innovation example might be building a mobile app for an auto insurance claim. Recently, though, Gartner published data that there's a bit of a shift going on where on average, only 65% of IT budgets are spent keeping the lights on. A 5% reduction might not seem like a lot in terms of real dollars, but it's really seismic. On a $10 million IT budget, an extra $500,000 to spend toward mobile or big data, it's a welcome change. But what's really causing that 5% shift? There's really a few schools of thoughts on that, but I think both are valid. First, companies have gotten bigger budgets in 2013 and therefore may have more money to spend at the onset on innovation. Survey data here is mixed, though. Most companies are generally indicating flat year-over-year budget. Second, I think, and more likely, companies may be getting more effective at supporting their day-to-day operations and are finally seeing positive results from previous cost-cutting measures. Standardizing on specific technologies, removing old and expensive to maintain equipment from service, and even selectively sourcing managed services are all methods to reduce costs year over year. In any event, though, the news appears to be good. The demand for the demands on IT for new stuff for the business should be getting more attention these days.
You know, everywhere I go, and I've been speaking around the world. In fact, I spoke at the Economic Forum in Astana, and then in Europe in Geneva at the ITU World Summit on the Information Society, and then in Paris earlier for UNESCO. And all I'm hearing is mobile, mobile, mobile. So what are your recommendations on using mobile?
Well, first, my recommendation would be not to get too worked up about the device itself. Too many flavors out there to try to dictate what an employee can or can't choose. Personal preference comes into play here. Hard thing to focus on. Instead, I'd encourage companies focus on enablement, especially around areas like security, network, and the application layers. It's funny. I asked a focus group whether they would rather give up their wallet or their phone if they were mugged. Overwhelmingly, and it surprised me, people would give up their wallet, suggesting that their phone and the information on it is more valuable to them than their wallet. Well, I can tell you that the mugger may be thinking exactly the same thing. IT, as a steward of the business, needs to take steps to protect the company from unauthorized use of mobile devices like iPhones, iPads, and whatnot. Have mechanisms and technologies to monitor access patterns, monitor the flow of sensitive information, and to remotely wipe clean lost or stolen devices. Again, I'd encourage listeners to focus about enablement and not the device itself.
Now, you know, you are a acknowledged expert, widely respected because you have this incredible history of doing a lot out there for quite some time. So, you know, looking into your sort of crystal ball, what do you see as the five truly disruptive technology forces for the next 5 years? And why are these five your choices?
Sure. You know, I think we hit on a few of them already, but here's my top five for right now. I don't think they'll be a surprise, but the technology changes so quickly that any of the top five today are not likely going to be the top five tomorrow. First, I think big data. Collecting, storing, analyzing large volumes of data every day creates business value, but it also creates enormous challenges for the IT team to operate an environment at that scale. So that's certainly the first one. Second, I think it's an output of big data is personalization. And with big data, we get a much more granular and more personal view of an individual's behaviors and buying patterns. This allows a business to engage through technology at a much more personable interaction with a customer. For example, say I buy groceries online every week, and I always buy Oreo double-stuffed cookies. On the 1 week I go to check out and I don't buy them, a promotion may pop up with a coupon and a request whether I want to add Oreos to my shopping cart. That's personalization, and that's an output of big data. Three, I would say, cloud computing. It's inevitable that customers are going to move to a hybrid data center where some of their IT resources are in their own data centers and some are an external provider's data center. The cost and flexibility benefits here are too great not to take advantage of this technology. Remember, though, moving to the cloud is easy. Managing across the cloud and the internal enterprise is much harder, so it takes some planning and discipline. For mobility, we discussed this already. It's here to stay. Just try take someone's iPhone or iPad away from them. Again, you have to focus on enablement, especially security. Five, I would say convergence. And here I'm talking specifically around converged architectures. Converged architectures are purpose-built platforms for compute, storage, network, and virtualization. Think ZBlock, FlexPod, or Exadata. Product manufacturers are trying to own the whole stack and offer simplicity to their customers. With their marketing muscle and company adoption, will continue to make convergence very popular over the next several years. A heads up, though, companies who deploy converged infrastructures need to make sure in advance that they have access to the resources, either internally or through a provider, to support those environments.
I would say the next question is in your sweet spot, and that is managed services. So from all of the things that you've done and all the clients that you're interacting with, what are your top best practices for managed services?
If I was an IT leader who was considering engaging a managed services provider to support some operational aspect of my environment, I would want to consider the following items. First, I would try to understand my current state environment. That sounds easy, and it really should be. But what are the hot spots in the environment that are causing pain? For security, maybe you can't attract and retain talent to manage your firewalls. For storage, maybe you can't keep current with the technology and just want someone else to deal with it. For network, you think you may be able to get better service with a third-party provider. In any event, you need to define the problem very clearly before you can begin to address it. Second, you need to document your requirements, as they'll become the basis for any good contract. What are the necessary service levels? Who owns policies? How do you get changes approved and implemented? What kind of reporting is necessary? All these things need to get factored into a contract so that the service you need is the service you purchase and is the service the provider can deliver. Very important. Third, I would identify what you would like to have in a service provider. This is critical. If you are only looking at them to reduce cost, you're going to have an ugly relationship for a number of years. Perhaps you want to partner in a certain geographic area or with some unique technology or capability. I would suggest you focus on a partner who will act and behave as an extension of your team. A partner who is sized appropriately and flexible enough to treat your contract is important. You want a service provider who will learn about you and know your environment and help you with any transformation activities. When Bob calls in, you want Bob to be recognized and have a good working relationship with that service provider team.
Now, Patrick, you're much in demand because of this very, very senior position you have, and again, because of your incredible background. So from all of your speaking, travels, and work, do you have any stories you can share, maybe something surprising, unexpected, amazing, or amusing?
Sure. Like many of your listeners who travel or support IT for a living, I always have an interesting story or two to share. These days, I'm spending some time in Canada. I've come to realize that in our global economy, IT problems, they're all the same. It's the communication issues that trip us up. For instance, a Canadian coworker of mine shared that the city got 120 millimeters of rain the day before I arrived. Being from the U.S., I didn't know if I should be impressed or disappointed. Then I got into my chilly hotel room that evening with the thermostat showing 19 degrees. Now, I know that's Celsius, but it gave me a chuckle, further illustrated to me at the end of the day, most problems come down to communication or misunderstanding. I would say one of my favorite, though, stories is around a client data center visit I did a few years back at a regional bank that used to be a multi-story hotel. Now, most folks know that a computer equipment works best at a nice, cool temperature. I don't know, maybe 19 degrees Celsius. However, the data center room had a working fireplace in it held over from the hotel. The juxtaposition of a fireplace and a rack of Blades servers was priceless. Couldn't help but think of the data center guys saying, boy, it's kind of chilly in here. Let's throw another log on the fire.
Now, this last question, I sort of turned the tables, and that is, if you were conducting this interview, what questions would you ask, and then what would be your answers?
I think you've hit on a number of good ones already, Stephen, but I'll share one. I guess I would ask, what allows managed service providers to be successful in supporting clients? And to that, I would answer, best people, scale, and processes and tools. At Foresight, we provide our team members a career path to become technology experts and gain skills and visibility to a myriad of IT environments that our customers just can't provide. By operating at scale, we can see across these IT environments and pick up on trends and recurring issues to attempt to proactively address issues and problems before they become customer-impacting outages. And finally, I would say through automation and repeatable processes, we try to drive resolution times down by letting the tools help us figure things out.
Well, Patrick, I know your schedule is really demanding, and so we're indeed fortunate to have you come in to do this interview. And thank you for sharing your many deep experiences with our audience.
Thank you, Stephen. I enjoyed the conversation. I was glad to participate.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Patrick Zelton, Vice President, Managed Services, Foresight Technology.